So turn in your Bibles, if you'd like, to John 8, 12 through 30. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many believed in him. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Actually, I changed it this morning, so
Okay.
you had it right to begin with. I told Marie 20, but I thought, no, it's 30. So how many of you, this is probably a time for true confessions, have ever done something stupid in your life? Bob's not ready. Oh, okay. Okay. All hands are raised. And we're not even Pentecostal. You know. So anyhow, I don't know if this was the most stupid thing I did, but it's in the top 10. So it's about 30 years ago. I was the dean of a week of church camp. And that meant that I was the one who got all the volunteers. I scheduled the classes, the activities, and every week that we did at church camp, we would have a faculty hunt. Did you all do that at church camp? Where all the staff, the workers, would hide, and they're worth points. And the kids would go hunt them for their team, and the team that had the most points would be the winner. So the dean now was worth big points. So I figured that I needed to find a big hiding place. So I was pretty agile back then. And so this was 30 years ago, 1991. And so I go around the camp during the daytime. And I see this 7-foot-tall picnic pavilion. And I'm like, if I had something to just boost me up a little bit, I can get up on that roof. And I found a picnic table that on the top had one board that was missing. And so what that does, you know, you got the legs that are being held up. So there was a board here and a board here. And I turned it long ways and it made a great ladder. I was able to step on that board. And I was able to push myself up on the roof. And I just sat up there and, oh, hey, this looks great. Yeah, this would be a great hiding place. So anyhow, I climbed down, put the table back upright. Then when it was time, it was dark. And I did not take that into consideration. So I go and I find my place. And I set the table up. That part's working fine. The moment that I put myself on that slanted roof, my hands there, I lost all sense of where up was and down was. But I found down. And I got a big old scar right here. In case y'all have ever noticed, that's what it was from. It was church camp. But it wasn't the camp's fault. It was stupid that it was my fault. But anyhow, darkness, it put a whole different context to what could happen. And light, it makes something possible when it seems like it would be impossible. So I've never done that again. I don't even get on roofs anymore after that. It's like, you know, even after that, it's like, hey, there's something up on the roof. I need to go do. No, I don't do roofs. That took care of me. Now, it may have been a stupid thing I do, but I got smart on that one afterwards because, you know, isn't it the craziest thing that experience is a thing you get right after you need it? So anyhow, light truly puts a different perspective on things. Now, we know this, driving down the highway when it's dark. We have limited light. We call them headlights. So, you know, we can see ahead of us. We can't see far down the road, but we can see enough that we can drive into that path, and then we see light to shine to keep leading us that direction. So we have that light that gives us a perspective of where the road is. Now, I do find sometimes I'm having difficulty if it's like a six-lane highway and it's dark, like at Santa Rosa when you come out onto Highway 98. It's like, where's the lane that I turn in? You know, because it's not lit. And so you cautiously make that turn and, oh yeah, it's over here. The headlights reveal it. And in the daytime, there's no problem. So light, Jesus gives another illustration of who he is. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, once again, we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. It was in that concluding time. You might remember, we talked about the fact that as they ceremonially poured water as a drink offering over the altar, that the rabbi would pour that. And at that time, Jesus goes, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and I will give him living water. So he'll be flowing with springs of living water within. Jesus was talking spiritual. So then we go down these few verses. And I want you to picture this. Also at the Feast of Tabernacles, in the women's court. You all actually got a court. You know, in the women's court, they had candles lit all around it. And there were three candles around that area that were 65-gallon oil lamps. And it was said that it could light up the city from quite a distance. So as the feast and festivities were concluding on that eighth day, Jesus does it again. So they put out those lamps at the end of the celebration. And he goes, I am the light of the world. They probably got tired of this. This guy keeps interrupting. This is our tradition to do it this way. And you know, they didn't like when he would do that. So let's look at what Jesus says and let's break this down. First of all, he projected he is the light. That's kind of a play on words I come up with. You know, you think of light projecting. And then verbally, he projected that he was the light. In verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me. Now, Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world and that we are to walk in the light. And it just seems like what's happening in our world today is, well, let's dim the light a little bit. We got a dimmer switch back there. We could dim the light so that maybe there are things that the light won't shed on. You know, maybe Jesus won't notice if we don't have as much light on the subject. We are not to walk in darkness, but to have the light of life within us. Now, there are limits to physical water, as I described, and there are physical limits to the physical light that we describe. But when Jesus says he is the light, he is the light that never is overcome with darkness. Oh, darkness will try to overcome the light. But he is the light that shines in the midst of darkness. Now, the Pharisees, therefore, well, they rejected the light. He projected that he is the light. The Pharisees, of course, rejected he is the light. And the Pharisees said to him, you bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. Now, so what is it that would make the witness of a person who stands to say, I am the light. I verify that. Well, what gives that substance? Well, you look at all the prophecies that even told where he would be born. And it told of things that would go on, things that he would do, even told of his crucifixion. And so he says, I know who I am, and I know from whence I came. He answered them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. Now I want to run by this one here a second. So he says, I judge no one, but he says, yet if I do judge. I think what that's simply saying is John 3:17 said, for God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's one of the roles of Jesus. Oh, there will be a time that he will judge. And I think what he's simply saying here is, right now I judge no one, but if I do judge later, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Then Jesus says, it is also written in your law. And notice that emphasis there on the word your law. He doesn't say the law. He doesn't say Moses' law. He says your law, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Well, they're not getting it. They're like, well, tell us who your father is. Now, a lot of them knew that he was from Nazareth. They knew that Mary was his mother. They assumed that Joseph was his actual birth father. And so they're like, this guy's nuts. Where is your father? He answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. We've seen his hour had not yet come mentioned so many different times. Well, then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, look how they respond then. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Now, why would they even say that? It was a slur. It was a put down, because Jewish law believed that if a person took their life, they would be in the lowest part of Hades that you could be. Now, I would hasten to say, as I've counseled folks who've had children who killed themselves, I don't believe it's an unpardonable sin. I think that there are people who make a permanent decision to some temporary problems in sickness, who knows? That's just my opinion. But anyhow, they thought it was, that was the thing, that was the lowest thing you could do. And they're insinuating, huh, what's he going to do? He going to kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. Now, I think he clarifies what he means there. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Now, in verse 24, he says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Notice in your translations the word he. Is it italicized? Anybody? You'll find it italicized because the translators added that. So literally, it should read, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I am. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So now Jesus here says, if you do not believe that I am. Wow, that just had so much more punch. But then, you know, the translator's just trying to, I am what? I am he? No, I am. He's saying, I am God. And these Jews, the Pharisees, they would understand that. Now then they said, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand, it says, that he spoke to them of the Father. Now we're going to see this again. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man. Now you remember, said when Moses lifts up the serpent in the wilderness. Jesus used that as a description of him being lifted up and crucified. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, and he's not talking about lifting up in praise. You know, we'll use that. Let's lift our voices in praise. That's not what he's talking about. It's when he was lifted up on the cross. Then you won't know that I am, period. Not I am he. I am. That is a reference of him being God. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Well, I can't say that. You know, Jesus could say that. I always do what pleases him. None of us can say that. You know, I actually have run into people through the years who said, I never sin. They said they got sanctified. And they got to the place where they just never sin. And I know it's not nice. And I know that it's probably sinful on my part to think this, but I wanted to test it. I always wanted to do something and just make them blow it. You know, I don't know. I don't think I ever did it, but that was in me. It was like, no, I don't believe you. You know, we don't always do the things that please God. But Jesus said, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So Jesus projected, he is the light. The Pharisees rejected that he was the light. Many heard him. And I guess it was like said before from the soldiers who went to get him that never has anyone spoke like this man. Many accepted that he is a light. But then there's one other thing. If you go over to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us, you are the light of the world. Now, is that a conflict? A contradiction? No, not at all. Because what is the church? It is not an organization that's just an organization that exists because they have a letter with the Secretary of the State, or it's not an organization that exists because they're affiliated with some denomination. It's not an organization that's just a group of people who just get together. It is the body of Christ. Jesus talked about the bread being his body, but the scriptures also talk about the body of Christ is the church. So if Jesus is the light of the world, then why wouldn't we be the light of the world that reflects his light? See, people should see Christ in us. And as we don't always do those things that please him, if they see us on a bad day, it may not be good, the message that we convey. Jesus says, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Kind of like the picture of the lampstands at this festival. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, letting your light shine before man is not doing something to glorify you. I mean, we got to get ourselves out of the way of this. If we let our light shine, it's not to make us look good. It's to make him look good. So we are to be the light of the world. Now back up to the thought, many accepted him as the light. We have that choice to make. As we've heard what Jesus said, we can choose to let him be the light in the darkness of our life. That is, if we are caught in this snare of Satan having control over us because we haven't surrendered to Christ, we can come to him. We can choose to accept him. And folks, we got to be the light in this world. This world is getting darker all the time. I mean, we can turn on the news and you see that. But Jesus is as bright as he's ever been. And the church of Jesus Christ needs to step up and quit playing like they are church and quit playing like they are a social club and be the light into the world. Oh, I said I don't shout. Okay, every once in a while it comes out. Hey, we are to be the light of the world, that people will come to know Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. He is the brightness that we need in the darkness of this world. He's the brightness we need in the darkness of sin. If you don't know Christ, if your heart's not where it needs to be, let Christ shine that light on you today.